Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Chaim Schmidt from the Kosher Scene. Our guest this evening is Brenda Laredo, who has spent the last 15 years in the weight loss industry. She is the owner and founder of Skinny Kosher Creations. Good evening, Brenda.
Good evening, Chaim. How are you tonight?
Baruch Hashem. Hoping you and your loved ones are all okay. Let's start by talking a little bit about... Good. Start talking a little bit about Ease, Brenda Laredo, and what made her start the weight loss company.
Well, I've been in the industry for about 15 years. I fell on the weight loss industry by accident, and it ended up being something which I naturally gravitated to and fell in love with. That is where I actually met my business associate in this, by working for a very large company in the weight loss industry. And I guess throughout those years, we had just decided at that point that we were going to decide to launch something that was kosher because we wanted to get a niche in the market, something that wasn't out there. But I guess it all started many, many moons ago when my children were a little bit younger. I was in Disneyland, and naturally we were looking around for kosher options for my children and myself to have, and there was absolutely nothing. Everywhere we found and we looked, it was either very junky food, very oily food, or food that was really unhealthy. And it was extremely expensive, long lineups, not very tasty. So the idea blossomed, I guess, from that point forward. Then as I started growing within the industry and seeing that people were constantly asking me if there were kosher options out there with the foods that we were selling within the jobs that we were in, there just wasn't. So my business associate and I got together. We pulled out family recipes, and we decided that from that point forward, that's how Skinny Kosher was born.
Very interesting. And how many years have you been in Skinny Kosher?
Well, Skinny Kosher, from the idea, it kind of blossomed, I would say, about 3 years ago. But there's so much to do until we actually get to this point where we're at now, where we're in production, and we can pick up and actually sell. So we're super excited because we have a line of bars which have come out, and they're delicious, they're tasty, they're healthy. And one of the first things that we decided to do was before we decided to launch, about 2 years ago, we went to Kosher Fest, which is the largest kosher food show that's out there. And we decided that we were going to use this. Yeah, so we decided we were going to use this as our focus group so that we can basically see exactly, you know, what people thought, what the response would be. And we were so happy to find out that, you know, for all observances, whether people were secular, whether people were modern Orthodox, ultra Orthodox, they loved, loved, loved our packaging, and they loved our food, they loved our bars, and we got a lot of compliments on it. And based on that, we were covered by a lot of media, and the Huffington Post came and covered our booth, and we ended up being voted as one of the top 10 best options there, best food there throughout Kosher Fest. So that was really wonderful. That made us understand that we were really onto something.
And that was a Kosher Fest 2 years ago, you said?
Correct. That was 2 years ago where we did Kosher Fest. So based on that moment, we had decided that one of the things we wanted is we wanted to be a little bit different than everybody else. We wanted to have elegant packaging. We wanted to be able to appeal to absolutely everybody. So, you know, you've tried our product. So if you can look
yes,
at the packaging, so yeah, it's a little bit different. It's different than the sea of green and brown that you usually see in the aisles in the energy bars or the protein bar section. So we decided that we wanted to make packaging that was a little bit more elegant, that stood out a little bit more. As a bonus, we ended up being embraced also by the gluten-free community, the vegan community, and also those with food sensitivities such as lactose, you know, peanuts, etc.
Now, where can somebody find these bars? Is it only through your website, or are they actually sold in supermarkets throughout?
Well, right now we are in limited areas all throughout New York and also the West Coast in Los Angeles. The best place to find us naturally and the easiest place to find us, I would say, is directly on the web, where somebody can find and buy at better prices. So they can go on www.skinnykoshercreations.com. They can always give us a call also at 1-855-SKINNY0. So that's always the best place to pick up and find us. But just to kind of let you know as well, another thing that we're doing is our first thing that we're launching is definitely these bars. The next part of 2015, we're going to be launching the male version of the bar. So what you see for the females, which are the pink and white, you'll see for the male line, which will be blue and white. And the difference between them will be that the male version will have additional protein, and at the same time, it'll also be a bit larger in size. And our official launch started with the energy bars, but really it's mm-hmm. part of an overall weight loss concept, you know, with both a male and a female line.
Mm-hmm.
So that's really important to know, because originally I had flown to Israel, where we had done a lot of R&D for our food line. And I went to Israel because I wanted to make sure that our flavors really met the mark, that they were really, really good. So, you know, we dug out, I'm a Sephardic, so we dug out a bunch of, you know, Sephardic kind of recipes. And, you know, we kind of integrated them a little bit so that they would also appeal, you know, to the Ashkenazis as well. And we had made 5 delicious meals. The first one was we made shakshuka. The next one was a Mediterranean rotini. After that, we made both a Szechuan chicken, a Szechuan beef, and a spicy Moroccan meatballs with couscous. Now, the important thing to understand is that these were all shelf-stable meals, so they were all vacuum-sealed and vacuum-packed. So they can be on the go anywhere that you wanted to go, did not need refrigeration. They were all natural. They had no chemicals, no additives, nothing. They were really, really, really delicious. So that was one of the things that we wanted to do. And then after we started seeing that we were having an overwhelming response to our gluten-free bars, we decided that we wanted to revisit our recipes. And now we're in the process of making the same similar meals, however, all gluten-free as well.
When will that line be launched?
Well, that one will be, the meals will be ready for the public in the beginning of 2016. I have to tell you that this entire project has really been one of passion and a labor of love. And I know that everybody says that about their business, but one thing that's super important to remember is that I find that in this kind of industry, it's easy to fool the public. A lot of people will, for example, create bars, you know, which are really Rice Krispies, if you want. But they're airy. They don't really have a lot of flavor. Or sometimes they're just chocolate bars that are remarketed as energy bars. So one of the things that we really wanted to do is we were not looking to dupe the public at all. We wanted to deliver a product that was truly healthy, that encompassed healthy ingredients, that was gluten-free, that was lactose-free, that was peanut-free, and at the same time, that was GMO-free. So when I say it was a labor of love, we really wanted to pick up and put a product out there that not only helped people you know, lose weight, but at the same time that when they were looking to grab energy or a bar on the go or food on the go, they can truly trust the idea that not only it was kosher, but at the same time they were really eating something healthy with no additives, with no chemicals whatsoever. And that was really important for us.
Now, let me ask you something. I noticed in your brochure, excuse me, I still have a bad cold.
Should
I haven't recovered yet. I noticed in your brochure that even though you have such recipes as Sichuan chicken and so on, that everything is, so in other words, you're not using real chicken.
Exactly. So everything is parve, everything, it was based on soy. But the thing is usually when you go, I know that I live in Canada, my associate is from, you know, my business associate is in the States. So we've tried both over here and we tried it in the United States. And we just found that it really tasted artificial. But we really managed to perfect the idea when we went to Israel. We really managed to perfect the ideas mixed with our recipes that people, when we were at Kosher Fest and they were tasting our samples, they did not believe that it was not meat. They had a hard time believing that it was actually healthy. And they couldn't believe that it tasted.
That's good. Because somehow in everybody's imagination, I remember whenever my mother, Alea Shalom, used to say to me, eat it, it's good for you. I already knew this is going to taste like garbage.
So, well, this is
since we were little kids, became associated with the idea it couldn't possibly taste good.
And you know what? You're 100% correct, Chaim. And also, I think over the years, you know, with Jewish cultures, we have a tendency to fry a lot, or we have a tendency to use a lot of oil because everything has to really be tasty. And the thing is that with all these weight loss products and everything that was coming out, you know, you had the odd one that picked up and, you know, was made, you know, that was made kosher. But to be able to encompass everything and that tasted really delicious, there really wasn't anything out there. So we were really looking to say, you know what, why can't people who are practicing a kosher lifestyle, why couldn't they be part of a program which encompassed healthy food, tasty food, and at the same time, they gave them a flavor of home, a flavor that they associated with. So that is really what we were aiming, what we're aiming to pick up and to do, and for an entire family.
Now, in looking at the bars, they are 130 calories each.
Correct.
Now, if the line of the products for men is going to be a little bit larger in size, how many more calories will they have?
Well, for the men's calories, it's going to be higher, not only because it's going to be larger, but there's going to be extra protein inside. So definitely, you know, men and women, you know, don't necessarily eat the same. So one of the things that we found with our energy bars, and this is what the irony is, because I've had focus groups of men eat our female bars, and they have let me know that it sustained them unbelievably, that it really fought hunger for them, that they were able to pick up and go to the gym, and they were able to feel, you know, like really good. They've had absolutely no hunger. So I think that when the male line comes out, it's going to be extremely appealing for the men because it's not going to be as small. It's going to have a stronger amount of protein, and the bar itself is going to be larger in size. So I think it'll be very satisfying. It'll do what it sets out to do, which will be an on-the-go product that will definitely fight hunger. And at the same time, the packaging will be beautiful.
I understand. Now, any approximate idea of how many more calories it will contain?
Oh, yes, absolutely. I apologize. So for men's calories, it'll be about 170 calories.
Okay.
So it'll be a little bit larger, and it'll be the same thing with our meals. Our meals are really helped by a dietitian. So what it is they were our meals that were our recipes, and then we had a dietitian come into the mix. so that she'd be able to really help us with all the science and all the math. And so the female portions are smaller. So, for example, a female portion of the meal will be about 8 ounces, and a male portion will be about 10 ounces. There'll be a little bit more, there'll be a little bit more of the Szechuan chicken, a few more meatballs in the men's portion as well. So a female portion might be something like 200 calories within the meal, and the male portion might be about 270 calories.
I understand. Okay. That sounds interesting. Now, obviously, I'm not going to ask you for the formulas of it, but what are some of the components, some of the ingredients that you put into the bars?
Well, one of the
things
that was
very important.
In other words,
what is it that makes the bar healthy? What ingredient or ingredients?
Well, instead of using, for example, a bar which is filled with chocolate or a bar that's filled with Rice Krispies, one of the things that we wanted to do is our base of our bar are date pastes. And that was really important because dates has so many health benefits to it, including the idea of digestion. It's very high in fiber. It's extremely healthy. It's got the chocolate chips in there for the chunk. It's also got a lot of, you know, healthy extra little ingredients inside. There's no chemicals. There's no additives. Everything is truly natural in there. As a matter of fact, we have a lot of the box, the big box retail outlets, which have been showing some interest. So that hopefully is going to come in, you know, in the coming weeks. So that's going to be very interesting. And our biggest person, the biggest box retailer place to actually go through, which is very difficult and everybody's dream, is a place like Whole Foods. And when we went and we met during our stages of production, when we went and we met with people at Whole Foods, we were so happy to see that they're extremely difficult critics on the ingredients that they accept, but that they felt that all our ingredients were perfectly acceptable. They loved our packaging and would be very interested in carrying our line as well. And they're our toughest critics because we know that they're very particular about who they accept in terms of ingredients.
Is there anyone in the Brooklyn area that carries your product?
There are a list. There are a few places. I know that there's a university there that carries them. I know that they were being distributed to some of the seminaries. I know that they put them in a few gas stations. As I'm in Canada, it'd probably be more my business associate. She goes out and she visits all the areas, so she'd probably be in a better position to tell me exactly the smaller stores that it's in. They will be listed on our website to buy tomorrow, so anybody who's looking would be able to, you know, to definitely go there. But as well, as I said, probably the easiest place at this point and the best place to pick up and to
would
order
the
bars and to get more information would be on the website, correct. Or they can always call us directly at 1-855-SKINNY-0.
Now, I noticed on your website that while you are talking about the bars, there is no mention yet of the meals. When will they be available? You said at the beginning of 2016.
Right.
When
there
you say at the beginning of 2016, what exactly does that mean?
Well, that means that basically right now we're doing the female launch of the bars at this point. The second half of 2015 is going to be the male launch that will come out for the bars. And then straight after that, I would like to think during the time of our predicted date would most likely be about February 2016. Because right now what we're doing is we've been so embraced by the gluten-free community. And so what we decided to do is to revisit the actual meals that we have. We went back into R&D, and we're providing a little bit of a larger line, and we're making everything gluten free as well.
I am sure that, during the time that you've been involved in the weight loss industry, there must have been some interesting, maybe even funny anecdotes that you've experienced. Care to tell us about some of them?
Yes. Well, I'm not going to mention the competitors, but I will let you know that I was definitely working for one of the largest weight loss companies, and they do sell food. And what really, and where I was working, where I was running my offices, there is a huge Jewish community all around. So, you know, you had a lot of secular, you had some secular Jews who would walk in and they would ask us if we would be able to pick up and you know, just sell them some vegetarian food. So in that, on that respect, it was fine. But then what I got very surprised about is this is where I started noticing where I had ultra-Orthodox women walking in. And it's a good thing. I mean, being Jewish, I would never sell them food in good conscience. But when they would pick up and they'd walk in, it'd be the first thing that I'd say, oh, no, no, you can't purchase here. It's not kosher. And they'd look at me and they'd say, but why isn't that? Why don't you have any kosher food? I don't understand. I mean, we want to lose weight too. And then I think that the biggest irony is I had the head of marketing throughout North America. This is what the biggest aha moment was. She walked in and she said to me, so Brenda, you know, you obviously sell so much food. And, you know, like, what are some of the things that you'd like to share with us? So I said to her, well, you know, I said, it's been quite a challenge. I said, because I have a lot of Jewish people who are walking in and they're very interested in purchasing food, but we don't have anything kosher. I said, and a lot of them, you know, who are more secular won't necessarily eat, you know, they won't necessarily eat anything that's got meat or anything that's got cheese. And she looked at me from her very big position and she said to me, well, I don't understand. All they have to do is take the cheese off the meat and voila. And I looked at her and I said to myself, okay, well, here's somebody who's got a huge position, who's running this big operation throughout all of North America, and that was the response. And then I said to myself, you see, this is what's missing. People don't really get it. People don't get that we can produce the exact same thing, but for kosher, and that there's a huge market for that. And I should say that also, you know, by launching things that are parv, the vegan community always seems to look to parv food very often because there's a lot more parv food out there than there is vegan food.
Right.
So they're always looking for little things that they can pick up and they can purchase from our community. And we also found that by doing parv food, we encountered an entire market of those who were lactose intolerant. So all of those little things kind of fell into the category of what we were doing. And I'd also like to add that while our whole setup was set out for the kosher community, you know, we've also been embraced by those who are not necessarily kosher. Because, you know, it's come to our attention that, you know, a lot of Gentiles and a lot of people who don't practice, you know, kosher lifestyle will look at us and feel.
Hello?
Food is cleaner. Hello?
Right. Go ahead.
Hello?
Yes.
Did you hear me? So a lot of people just seem to feel that, you know, kosher encompasses fit, encompasses clean. So we've really been embraced by everybody, and that's been very touching for us, by staying true to our roots.
Okay. Now, it's true that among the non-Jewish world, a lot of them regard kosher food as healthier, regard kosher food as being held to a higher standard than the Food and Drug Administration and so on. Now,
correct.
But, and by the way, that does not necessarily mean that kosher food is healthier in general.
No, absolutely.
However, I can understand. I'm sorry. I can understand why they would believe that. I understand, let's face it, it is something that the kosher industry can definitely aspire to.
Mm-hmm.
Now, having said that, excuse me, the cold is bad. I thought I was getting better. I'm not as well as I thought it should be. Anyway, I guess I'm going to need a lot of that health food. to get me out of this anyway.
Well, we can definitely supply you with that, Chaim.
Okay. Now, tell us a little bit more about some of the meals that you will be introducing. You gave us some of the names of some of the dishes. Explain a little bit more.
You mean what other things that we plan on adding?
Yes.
Well, one of the things that we really want to do is we really want to incorporate things. Right now, everything that's Moroccan seems to be very popular, whether it's
hair oil,
whether it's food, whether it's furniture, you know, anything that has to do with fabric, it seems to be all the craze. So something like that is always really great. So what one of the things that we had decided is that, you know, more and more now, if you go out, people are loving hummus. They're loving shakshuka. Hello? Do you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah. So they're incorporating all these kind of flavors, which are just making meals a lot more appetizing. And also the aroma is great. So another thing which is really important, I think that a lot of people have a tendency to buy frozen meals, or they'll buy shelf-stable meals, you know, a lot of the competitors. They'll put it right inside the microwave. And for me, the very first sense that should give you an appetite or open up your appetite should be the sense of aroma, a delicious smell that already you decide, like, oh, my God, if it tastes as wonderful as it smells, I can't wait to eat. And that's really important. And very often you'll get a lot of these dishes that you'll pick up, you'll put in the microwave. They really don't smell very appetizing, but people will purchase them because they're kosher. So what we decided to do is we really wanted to make sure that our flavors were there and that the aromas were there. So for us, when people are going to put our spicy, you know, meatballs with couscous, or people are going to take the Mediterranean rotini or different dishes that we're going to have in the market, one of the things for us is the second you put it in the microwave or you heat it up, the aromas are incredible. It smells as delicious as it tastes. And I think that that is the one thing that we're really trying to capture. We're trying to kind of take away the bad rap that, you know, shelf-stable food has and turn it into something incredible. And had I had access to something like that when my children were young and I was at Disneyland, it really would have made my trip a lot less stressful and it would have made it easier because I could have taken these meals on the go, gone to any microwave in my room, any place, zapped it, and then at the same time had a very healthy meal that my children could have enjoyed as well as myself. And that's very important.
It's interesting what you mentioned about the aromas, because in the late 19th century, a French politician and gourmand, Briat Savarin, wrote his famous La Physiologie de Goût, The Physiology of Taste. And basically what he said is that the most important thing when we look at something we never tasted before is the aroma. Then the eye appeal. And only the last part is the actual taste of whatever the dish is.
Nahon,
so
exactly.
We eat first with our nose, we eat then with our eyes, and only the last resort do we eat with our mouth.
Exactly. It's all our senses that come into play. And when we picked up and we created these kind of meals, we were very sensitive to all of these issues because we really want to put out a quality product. More than anything, we want to put out a quality product. And that, you know, unfortunately, it takes a little bit of time to get it right. But we've really worked hard in order to grab the best focus groups, to try to find the best people to help develop them, you know, top technology so that we do not have to put in any additives or any kind of chemicals at all. And those things are extremely important. And I find it interesting, Chaim, that you said la physiologie de goût. Do you understand French a little bit?
Yes, I do.
You do? Well, that's wonderful. Moi aussi, je suis une francophone.
when I grew up in Uruguay, French was one of the subjects that we learned throughout the school years.
And
when I came to the States, I hardly ever had a chance to practice it until I met one of your fellow Moroccans, Levana Kirschenbaum, from the old Levana's restaurant. And with her, occasionally, I do get to practice a little bit of my French.
Well, that's wonderful. And you speak Spanish as well.
Spanish is my mother tongue, yes.
Yo también. You can tell with my family name. Most people, if most people don't know my family name, Laredo, they think that I'm Italian or they think that, you know, maybe Spanish, but they don't really calculate, you know, Jewish. But it's a Spanish name. My parents were from Tangier. So I grew up in a household of Spanish and French. So, you know, combine all of that together with the culture. And we're
so, in other words, your parents were one side was a Spanish Moroccan, the other side was French Moroccan.
No, they were both they were both Spanish. It's to say that my mother was born in French Morocco, but from the age of two, went to Tangier and was raised in Tangier. And my father was the same. He was born in Rabat, which is French also, but also at 2 years old. Moved and grew up in Tangier, so for them they were Tangierians. And but over here they spoke the Spanish to each other. So I grew up in Spanish, but we always spoke in French. And then we studied in English. So we took all that warmth, you know, of the language and the countries and the flavors, and we put all that into passion into this program.
Into very good.
Product.
Mm-hmm. And we're just about out of time. I want to thank you for coming
lovely.
To our program. I want to
thank
you for the samples
thank
you
so
that
much.
You sent us. They were absolutely delicious.
It's a pleasure. Thank you. And we will send
thank
you some
you.
More as soon as we get our food samples. We'll be sure to send them out.
Okay.
Well, thank you
thank
so
you.
Much. Have a
one
lovely
and all,
day.
Ladies.
Shabbat shalom.
Shabbat shalom mevarach.
Thank
you, one and all, ladies and gentlemen. And tuna sin again next week. At the same time, both on Wednesday and again on Thursday. Thank you very much and good night.
Laila Tov.